Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The wicked say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us. He sets himself against our doings, reproaches us for our transgressions of the law, and charges us with violations of our training. Let us see whether his words be true. Let us find out what will happen to him. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him and deliver him from the hand of his foes. With revilement and torture let us put the just one to the test, that we might have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord upholds my life.
The Lord upholds my life.
O God, by your name save me, and by your might defend my cause. O God, hear my prayer, hearken to the words of my mouth.
The Lord upholds my life.
For the haughty men have risen up against me, the ruthless seek my life. They set not God before their eyes.
The Lord upholds my life.
Behold, God is my helper. The Lord sustains my life. Freely I will offer you sacrifice. I will praise your name, O Lord, for its goodness.
The Lord upholds my life. A reading from the letter of St. James. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconsistency or insincerity. And the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace, for those who cultivate peace. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You covet, but you do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask but do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came into Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And of course, we're going to discuss these readings. It's been a little while, Dawn, since you and I have been on a podcast together.
That's very true.
I think it's because you were with Father Mark last week, right? And then
2 weeks
I think
ago,
the week before that, I was with Father Mark or something. Oh, that's right. Yeah, last week I was solo. That's
Yeah. Boy, time flies. You know, you get a new assignment and the world changes.
Yes. Well, I was out in Canandaigua yesterday. I drove through it, just passing through. I had to go to a meeting out on Cayuca Lake. And so we drove through Canandaigua right by St. Mary's. And I said, "Oh, I miss that place."
It misses you too.
Oh, excellent. Well, I guess not excellent. We're shedding tears for each other, but we'll survive. At least they get to hear my voice.
Right, yes, that's right. So.
Anyway, with these readings today, did anything strike you or anything that you wanted to talk about? Or
Well, you know, there's lots of different things. One of them is, you know, in the very beginning of the gospel reading, Jesus talks about he and his disciples left and he doesn't want anybody to know about it. And it sort of reminded me of, you know, you're a teacher almost that's, you know, let's get serious about this. The final exams are coming and we really got to get serious about what's going on here. And I find it so human, the discussions that the disciples end up having, and they don't understand what he's saying, and then they start arguing about who's the greatest. I mean, it's so entirely human.
Well, it's very much like school. You know, you don't understand what the teacher's saying, but who's the smartest one of us in this class?
Exactly.
And I don't understand anything the teacher says, but, you know, who's the smartest here?
Can you speak from personal experience? Is that your...
Well, no, because there was never any doubt.
Oh,
I jest. No, I think you're right, though. That is a very, you know, kind of human situation. Then, of course, there's always that desire that we have as human beings to be ambitious, to be great, to be considered the best at what we do or anything. And then, of course, we go up and we hear what James has to say about that in the second reading. And he says, of course, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. So he talks about this selfish ambition and relates it to every foul practice. And of course, what it is, it kind of goes along right there with what Christ is saying, that if you want to be the greatest, you know, it can't come from self-ambition. It has to be from service. In service to others, it's putting your own needs aside. The one who is the servant is the one who's actually the greatest. And that's, you know, a real twist. Sometimes I think we've heard that so often that it just becomes words to us. But that really is a real twist, especially in the times that Jesus was living. I mean, that kind of message was never preached, that you become the servant, that you need to humble yourself or anything like that. It was always about exalting and trying to become the best, and we are the best because, you know, whatever reasons that they had. And I think, though, that if we're really honest with ourselves, we still do that a lot today. I mean, so many times in our world, we hear people saying that God loves them better because of this or that reasons. I mean, how often do we as a nation seem to think that we are the nation that God has blessed and chosen because of all these gifts that we've been granted, or because of all this knowledge we have, or all this technical ability we have? And a lot of times what we forget in that is that if we're truly a great nation, what it means is that we should be at the service of everybody else, not the ones kind of lording it over everybody else. And then you can, of course, bring this down onto any individual scale from, you know, national level. We can be challenged too in our own lives that, you know, really, we need to be the servant of one another rather than the ones who are kind of lording whatever gifts we have over each other. So, of course, I was going to try to use a sports analogy, but that would never work because, you know, the quarterback who, you know, isn't very good is just not going to work there. Sports is kind of the opposite of this mentality. It's the mentality of I need to become the greatest. Although I guess what you could say with sports, with most team sports at least, is the better team is the one where the players, not necessarily they don't need to be the greatest at their position, but they need to work together as a team. They need to be at the service of one another. It doesn't do well to have a great quarterback if he can't be at the service of his running backs and his receivers and his offensive line and all that. And same thing with any of those other things. You all have to kind of work together in any kind of a sport. And I think that's what we've learned in the Christian life, is that we are called to work together as a church. Paul often referred to the church by using the image of the body, saying, you know, just because you're not an eye doesn't mean that you can say you don't need an eye. Or just because if you are an eye, you can't say I don't need the rest of the body. You know, you need to all work together and you need to be at the service of one another. An eye does no good if it doesn't communicate anything it's seeing to the rest of the body so that it can react to the visual stimulus in the world.
You know, in the end of the gospel, when Jesus takes a child in his arms and says, what he says, it receives me. Anyhow, it got me thinking, and I did a little research, and in the Greco-Roman culture, where the readers of Mark's Gospel would have gotten it immediately, children had no social or any legal status. And actually, the Greek word for child also means servant. And so it gives the whole new context. So it's always sort of confused me in the past when, well, of course you love a little child, but in that setting, a child was the same as a servant. So by Jesus doing that, that was a radical type of thing, action to do.
Yes. For a second, I thought you were going to come down on Jesus for not having taken the safe environment training before bringing up the children. But but no, you're right. The children had absolutely no status in that society. And especially if it were a female child at that time, it would have been even...
That's true.
I guess less than no status, I don't know. But you're right, they didn't count. They could be sacrificed, any number of things. They had absolutely no status. And I think what Jesus is reminding us there is that if we want to have a high place in the kingdom, we have to receive, we have to take in those who have no status in our society.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And of course, you know, we can think in our own society, who are those who have no status? You know, you can come up with any number of people from, you know, in our own American society, you've got the immigrants issue, the illegal immigrants. You've got the issue of the poor. Children, to some extent, they've got more status than they did in the Greco-Roman society, but they still have very little voice in society. And, you know, any number of people who are discriminated against, and we have to receive them. And we have to serve them. We have to take care of them. And I think that's really a challenge that we get here, that this gospel, to be a disciple of Jesus, is not about being great. It's not about seeking self-ambition in that sense. It's about being great by the works of charity that you do, the way you love one another. And that's really what discipleship is all about. It's how do I love the people that I encounter in my life.
Right, yes.
Which goes along with our theme for Spirit Alive this year, actually.
I was just going to say that, yes, for the upcoming year, talking about discipleship and stewardship. I guess we'll probably be talking about that a lot in the upcoming year. You know, our first reading today is from the Book of Wisdom.
Yes.
We don't hear it so much during Sunday liturgies, but oftentimes at funerals, there are a couple passages that are very popular. But I know that, like, if I go to Barnes & Noble's and pick up an NIV Bible, I won't find the Book of Wisdom in that. And could you talk maybe a little bit about that?
Well, it's cheaper to print the Bible without the Book of Wisdom in it. No, that's not the reason. There are differences in Bibles, and it depends on which Bible you pick up at Barnes & Noble, so let's clarify that. We don't want to demonize Barnes & Noble
right, yes,
or anything.
Because if I pick up other Bibles there, it will have
that. That's right. So some Bibles will have it and others won't. And what it is they're the most Christians accept the New Testament as it is, the books of the New Testament. But the Old Testament scriptures, there's a handful of books that various faith traditions include and others don't include. The Catholic and Orthodox churches, for example, include the Book of Wisdom, the Book of Maccabees, Tobit. I think there's a few others in there. Baruch,
Judith,
I think, is one.
Yeah.
I can't remember if Jeremiah is one.
No, Jeremiah's the same.
Okay.
But there's also a couple additions to, like, the Book of Daniel.
That's right.
And Esther.
Okay.
And so there's slight differences.
Right, that's right. And so you'll find that there is differences in what we hold as being canonical or part of the, what we call the canon of Scripture, you know, what goes into what is the inspired Word of God. And a lot of this comes from divisions in the church, comes from Martin Luther, some of it. Some of it comes back before then, and some of it's come after then. And what it is it's just some disagreements on what is the inspired word of God. And in the Jewish tradition itself, the Old Testament, does not contain the Book of Wisdom or the Book of Maccabees or anything. We as Catholics do include these things. We believe that they are part of the inspired word of God. We believe that at the various councils, when the canon was formed, they've declared these to be the inspired word of God, and we believe the councils to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, so we accept these as part of our canon. And there's various reasons that different groups have for not including things. For example, the Book of Maccabees tends to talk a lot about or give a precursor to the priesthood. Well, if you don't have an ordained priesthood, that becomes problematic, and you might say, well, that's not really what we believe to be the inspired word of God, and so that those books are left out. There are different, there's all types of different reasons that different groups accept and don't accept these parts of the canon. So, but as Catholics, we do accept the Book of Wisdom, like you said. It is not used a whole lot in the Sunday liturgies, as you mentioned, although it does get used, like you said, in funerals, because it does have some great poetic value. It's similar to the Book of Ecclesiastes. The famous one from there, of course, is the song that the birds sang, turn, 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 you know, to every thing there is a season, and that's from there. But the Book of Wisdom does have it's a book just of that, of kind of quotes of wisdom. It's not a book that's a story of the life of one of the early prophets or anything, but it's more teachings, and teachings of the wise. And so we include that in. We believe that to be part of the inspired word of God. Does that get you anywhere? I'm close to answering. Yeah. Anyway, although we are not the inspired word of God, Dawn, we are running out of time, and hopefully people will have gotten some nugget of wisdom from us this week, and from the Book of Wisdom as well, and from the scripture readings. And hopefully they will be back next week to join us on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.